and you have a lot of D's too. A2?
No.
D2, okay. Good evening. Okay. Yeah, thank you. July 19th, 2012. Thanks for tuning in to the Recreation and Parks Commission. Unfortunately, we don't have enough members for a quorum tonight. We'll have to reschedule the meeting for a different time. But we do have a presentation from Project Surf Camp with John Taylor, and we're going to go through that and televise that, and hopefully another one of our members will show up in that time, and then we will call the meeting to order. We will be over after this presentation. If not, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Board, for the opportunity to share this endeavor that myself and Matt Makowetsky and a number of others are providing here in our local area. Project Surf Camp is a 501c3 nonprofit. It's a surf camp designed specifically for children with special needs. And we started, this is our fifth summer, and we've run it all out of Morro Bay. And we've grown from just, you know, a handful up to, we put 260 children through camp last summer. And one of the really big things about also with that is we have between 400 and 500 volunteers, mostly local, come out and help out. Before we go any further and talk a little bit more about the camp, what I'd like to do is show you a video that Cal Poly created for us in one of their recreation administration classes.
To make a mountain of your life is just a choice, but I never learned enough to listen to the voice that told me always love. Hate will get you every time, always love. Don't wait till the finish line.
Project Surf Camp is not just about surfing, but about celebrating kids that are brave enough to take those first steps into the wild blue yonder, and in the process, make lasting friendships and break down countless barriers.
But I never learned enough to listen to the voice that told me.
Quietly on
As you guys can see, our slogan is basically changing lives. And one of the big things that we found out last year, just the numbers, not only, I mean, we have an impact on the campers and their families, but the sheer numbers of volunteers coming out is amazing. And it really is community. And we brought that concept to Joe, and since then we've formed an affiliation with the city of Morro Bay and the Park and Rec Department, and it's just been awesome. And what you guys have provided for us is our meeting or staging area is down at Coleman Park, and then we run our camps kind of out the pit and where the Little Morro Creek comes out, and it's been perfect. I mean, the response we're getting from all of our campers and their families is just amazing, and how beautiful our staging area is and how everything works out really, really well. And what we really want to do is to come in and thank you for providing us with this awesome opportunity to really allow us to take it to the next level. And as we're talking with Joe and just dreaming about how things in the future, this is exactly what we wanted, because we have so many volunteers and we have so much community input. It really is community. And it's a great relationship with Project Surf Camp and the city of Morro Bay. So thank you. The other, you know, some of the key people were about done, but you know, Morro Bay Police Department came out today, and they've done that every year. And the fire department's coming out next Friday, and we have some local businesses and things like that. So and along with a number of volunteers and high school students and businesses, it's turned out to be really neat. And we thank you for providing us with the opportunity this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. So it sounds like a very neat program.
Well, we're in luck. We have a quorum, so. So we can now call the meeting to order. And next we'll have a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Excellent. I guess the next thing is, did any of the board have any announcements? No? Joe?
No.
All right. The next part of the meeting will be for public comment. If anybody in the audience would like to speak, now's the time. And it looks like there is no public comment. So the next order of business, I'll be looking for a motion for the consent calendar items.
If no commissioner wishes to pull anything, I would make a motion to accept consent calendar items A1 through A4 for file.
He wants A4.
Okay. We're going to pull A4, and so the motion is for items A1 through A3.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Excellent. Mr. Woods, A4.
Thank you, Chair Bates and Commission. Welcome and good evening tonight. A4 on your consent calendar is the status report. And I have a few things on the status report that I will cover. A couple of things that did not get on there that I want to bring to your attention. Specifically, some action that was happening today at City Park. We had the conversion of the bus shelter to your grandmother's living room, and that's from the Morro Bay Art Association, and they are doing a terrific job. Today we had delivered the concrete couch. That was a special artist rendition of a particular leather couch that's actually concrete. The walls have been painted. We'll be closing on August the 10th. So if anybody's interested in submitting an application, they can pick one up at the City Hall Personnel Division, or they can download one from our city website. And a couple of items that went to City Council and back for your information. We had discussed free chess at the Giant Chessboard for the summer. Instead of a full report, it was included in the master fee schedule. So that fee schedule was amended and adopted by City Council at their last regular meeting. And basically, we are offering free chess at the Giant Chessboard using the plastic pieces the months of June, July, and August. And currently, we have maintenance personnel that are putting out the pieces in the morning as part of their morning duties, as far as cleaning the restroom. And then as we do seconds, as we like to call them, which is another visit to the restroom in the afternoon during the busy months, we'll be picking up the pieces. We're fortunate to have a banner made, and it's still, I think, pending. I'm looking over at our intern. Okay, so we have a banner of information that's going to go down on site, letting the public know that that's free chess, and it's allowing visitors and even locals to go out and experience some chess, have a little time filler for those who are waiting, for those who are shopping or something like that. So when folks are saying there's nothing to do, we are offering free chess. And our new interpretive panel is on display there too. So you've got a lot of action at Centennial Parkway, which is in the heart of the Embarcadero. And one other item that was, actually I have two more items that aren't on here, and I apologize for that, would be the trash receptacles at the Rock Restroom. We had talked about converting some of the trash receptacles to an automatic solar-powered trash compactor. The ones that we have installed at Tidings Park, Mariner Park, and also Centennial Parkway, we've looked to expand that to the Rock parking lot. There are 16 existing trash receptacles, if you will, out there along the Rock parking lot and at the restroom. We'll be pulling 16 of them and replacing them with a double unit, which is once a solar-powered trash compactor, and adjacent to it will be a recycling bin, which is a single-user recycling bin. Right now you have a dumpster recycling, which isn't really conducive to an individual use. That's located at the restroom. These will be located next to the trash receptacles out on the concrete pads that the Harbor Department has put in. So we'll be putting in, we've been authorized to buy 5 units. One double unit will be at the restroom, and then the 4 remaining units will be dispersed at the 7 different pads. So you will have 3 empty pads out there, and we're hoping that these trash compactors will eliminate the waste, not allow the birds to get into the container because they are open and closed, as well as squirrels. So we're hoping that we reduce the wildlife infiltration to the trash, have a nice clean product, and really tighten up the trash collection at the Rock parking lot. And we've got some quotes. A couple different companies actually offer those, and we're getting a competitive quote, and when they come in, we'll be installing them. And also to supplement the trash out at the Rock, we have the Harbor Department personnel have included a Sunday pickup, which is not on the Morro Bay Garbage Company's service route. So we're doing that in-house with Harbor Department personnel. Project Surf Camp is on your status report, and you had a nice presentation from John Taylor from Project Surf Camp. Is one that we felt that we could step up and help them elevate their program and their delivery service, and moving from A Beach over to the Rock area, which is basically just south of Morro Creek Outlet, and utilizing Coleman Park as a base camp has worked out really well. And so what we're providing them is some barricades to reserve parking and allowing them to use the Coleman parking lot for their trailer overnight. and it's worked out really well. And then their end of the year program, which is it's called Rock for Surf, pardon me, and that's going to be August the 5th. And we're working on some details with John and his staff on getting that at Coleman as well. The Del Mar tennis courts have been completed. There's a few other site amenities that we still need to do, but we are filing notice of completion with the county, and we still need to add a drinking fountain and a bench, so we're still working on that. The Cloisters Assessment District is a work in progress still. We have a notice of award that was accepted by City Council at their last meeting, and basically maximum three teams that are locally, and majority of the teams, 20 or so, are from out of the area, which we feel is a very strong contribution to an indirect economic impact that the tournaments have as far as filling hotel rooms for TOT increase as well as sales tax. So we're really looking forward to hosting our Labor Day tournament once again. And our junior lifeguard program, if you're unaware that we are sold out, we're max capacity for session one, and we are at max capacity for session two. So we're very, very excited about the structure we have at the junior lifeguard program. And our pricing is right on target, and our staff is very well qualified. We take very, very seriously our training and our personnel and the regiment that we put them through, so we can provide a very quality and very structured junior lifeguard program. We've supplemented the program with beach camp, and that's a week before session one, and it is a week in the middle of the two sessions, and it's also a week at the end of the summer. And beach camp is ranging in the high teens as far as attendance, and really we're targeting somewhere around 20. So we're really reaching our goals with the beach camp as well. So we're very excited about the participation in the recreational programs. I wanted to mention the Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier run. And this year we extended our run and we added the Rockin' Around the Pier, which is a half marathon. It was 13.1 miles. It's a beach run. And so if you were strong enough to get to the pier, that's a 10K. Terrific. Thank you. That's about 1,200 registrants that were participating in that particular run. And we had 201 register for the half marathon. So and all together, we had about a little over 1,400 registered participants in those two programs. You may have done the math, and running around the pier and back isn't quite 13. So at Azure Street on the way back, we detoured the runners up to the cloisters, around the wetlands, and back to the beach, which added that extra mile, and then brought them into the finish at 13.1. We had all actually 175 finishers, and out of those, 165 finished within 3 hours. So we had some very fit people out there, doing some terrific running and having a lot of fun and contributing obviously to our youth sports fund. Kids camp is in progress right now, and we have the summer hours at the teen center. And that concludes my portion of the status report. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have on any other items or those I've covered.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
On the chess pieces, is that Monday through Friday, Joe? Or is that weekends also, the free chess?
We are running Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, we have the Morbid Chess Club out with the big wooden pieces. And they'll be providing chess. And they do demonstrations. They do games there. And they also offer the smaller pieces for the table play.
All right. I guess we have unfinished business would be scheduling of our annual parks tour.
Motion to accept A4 for file.
Oh, excuse me.
That's right. Sorry.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. Now, C1, scheduling of the annual parks tour. Is that something we should do right now, Joe, with our skeleton crew, or...
I think you certainly can tackle this particular agenda item, get something on the books. We typically do our parks tour annually. We generally substitute our July meeting for a parks tour. But given the fact that we meet every other month and we only have six meetings through the year, I think that the business should come first. Though touring the parks is a very important task if you haven't done it on your own, this is a more formal approach. Last year we did something different. We only did about half of the parks that we toured, and we left out some larger ones that were in North Morro Bay, giving a little more attention to those that we did visit. So this year, staff is proposing something very similar, but just the opposite, if that makes any sense. And we're proposing that that commission review and accept the tour as the Lila Kaiser Park and the skate park, which is at the Teen Center, Del Mar Park, North Point, and the Cloisters Assessment District. And those are obviously all those are in our north part of our town. They're larger. We're anticipating getting out of the trolley or our vehicle to go out and have, you know, some visuals on foot.
Okay. I think that visiting the north city parks would be fantastic. I don't think that we have any problems with that, do we? Anybody? The 16th of August?
I think that would be a good idea because the Del Mar Park has changed quite a bit.
16th?
With the dog park, the tennis courts.
Sure.
And I've also noticed that there's been some destruction on I guess you would call it the hockey court. It looks like somebody really banged some of the wood around and made a large hole. So.
Okay, well maybe we can come back to that. Let's keep on task here about the meeting for the parks tour. The 16th good for you, John? Yeah.
Sure.
Does that
make it work
for you,
Yeah.
What time was it? Is it at 5:30, Joe?
We typically have targeted 5:30. Last year we did have a small agenda item we tried to squeak in, so we met at the community center. We started, I think when we started here, we had open and closed. We opened up the meeting. We had a little bit of meeting business we took care of. I don't anticipate that, but we are targeting 5:30 for those commissioners who are have day jobs and can't get here any earlier, and we think that 5:30, since your regular meeting is at 5:30, that would be an appropriate time to start. It generally gives us 2 hours of daylight to get through the tour, and that's basically what we're looking at, approximately 2 hours or less.
So are you just looking for a confirmation? There's no motion on this, right?
We would be looking for a motion to set a special a meeting date that would include the parks tour. And if you want them to accept the proposal that staff has provided on the backside of your staff report, it lists the parks. And I also listed the parks that we're not visiting, just so you know that. So next year we look at them, and we know we didn't visit them last year, so we kind of flip-flopped them, and it seemed to have worked out really well. So if you like those, we want you to accept the scheduled or proposed route as you see it, and then a date and time, and then we'll do the formal noticing after that.
I have an idea. Could we maybe meet at the new bus stop? So we check that out when we're – I mean, we got to meet somewhere.
There's more parking at the community center.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's not the longest walk in the world, but I guess it's not such a good idea then.
We can certainly meet there. If you'd like to meet at the community center, we can coffee up there and then head out and go right to the bus shelter and have a look at that.
Sounds like a better idea.
Do a little roundabout and then head out. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll include City Park then on this proposal.
Yes.
I'm looking around. Okay.
All right. Looking for a motion.
I guess I'll make the motion that we have our park tour on August 16th at 5:30, meeting at the community center, and touring the parks that are on the list per Joe Woods.
I second it.
Those opposed? In favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
None.
Carry 4-0.
What's that?
We get all four?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we got that all planned. Looking forward to that. It's always fun. I guess the next thing up is a new business, D1, so I'll give it back to Mr. Woods.
Thank you, and good evening again, Chair and Commission. Don't worry, I'm going to give you a reprieve of my voice and allow the next agenda item to be addressed and delivered by our intern, Pat Cerrone. But for right now, this is a joint effort with our maintenance superintendent, Mike Wilcox, and myself to present a summary of the recently completed ERA-funded energy efficiency and conservation block grant lighting retrofit projects. It's not the longest title, but long enough, huh? A little bit of background on this particular topic. Federal Energy Independent Security Act of 2007 established the Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant, and that was to assist eligible entities in providing to certain things as far as strategies. Would be number one would be to reduce fossil fuel emissions in a manner that was environmentally sustainable. Number two would be to reduce total energy used by eligible entities. So what we would be doing is reducing our fixed expenses and also to improve energy efficiency within the building sector, which is us, also the transportation sector and other that were identified in the CEC energy audit. So there was quite a bit of legwork before we got to December of 2009, but we got there and council agreed for us to get into this particular grant monies, and we executed an agreement with the CEC June the 14th, 2010. And that's when we got the money, and the total monies were just under $60,000, actually just under $56,000, and the total exactly $55,983. And I say very specifically because when you do ERA money, it's very specific as far as how much money you have and how much you'll be reimbursed and what the qualifying projects are. And it's a monthly report. It's very tedious, very time-consuming on staff. And we give some acknowledgement to Mike Wilcox in his perseverance in getting this particular project through and keeping up to all the requirements that the state was putting on him. We recognize that the $56,000 would not cover all of the identified projects within the CEC energy audit, and so some things were truncated, and hopefully we can fund them in the future. But what we did identify were the retrofittings of six different city buildings and seven parks. We've given you an attachment that outlines those particular projects that we, those particular sites and what we did at those particular sites. The vets saw here, we changed out these fluorescent lights and the wall packs on the outside, and also the light bollards. And the light bollards have LED lights, and the fluorescence went to a 13-watt fluorescent tube. So they all already have electronic ballasts. So we went from a 32-watt to a 30-watt to, I think, down to like a 27 or 28-watt. So the energy efficiencies in the fluorescent tubes have gone down in small amounts, but they're used continuously, and that savings does add up. And in the parks, you'll see a lot of the lighting that we pulled out were high-pressure sodium, as well as mercury vapor lamps. And so when we replace those particular lamps, we've got to change out the ballast to accommodate an LED fixture. So we've done that. And some of the light bollards, all light bollards at Tidelands, the lights that are on the staircases. If you go down to Centennial, I'll point out one in particular, Centennial Parkway, where we had rather large telephone poles that had very big boxes on them that were, I think, a 200, might have been a 400-watt high-pressure sodium, was converted down to a 19-watt LED What we did was we cut that pole down about 5 to 6 feet, cut it at an angle to deter birds from landing on it, and then put in a very small LED fixture. It throws out as much light or more than we had before. It's a very more brilliant light. It's a whiter light as opposed to a more yellow light on the high-pressure sodium. So it really accents the park really well. By cutting down the poles and eliminating those big boxes, we really opened up a view corridor from the top of the staircase all the way through to the water. So we feel we've done several accomplishments other than the biggest one, which was to reduce our fixed expenses as far as the energy that we use. And then obviously the strategies of the grant itself, which was to eliminate greenhouse gases or fossil emissions from fossil fuels, and as well as the total usage of energy that we've been doing. So our big push is to decrease our fixed expenses, and we feel that we've done that in this big lighting retrofit program. We are looking to do more. The end result, and I'll conclude by not getting all the details of the particular spreadsheet, but I'll bring your attention to the bottom line, which is kilowatts saved per year, and we are just over 64,000 kilowatts per year. The annual calculated savings from this particular project is $12,841. So the grant monies we have are 55. We're going to be saving 12,000, a little over 12,000 every year, and we feel very strongly that we're doing the right thing for the right reason, and basically being fiscally responsible. We're being stewards of the environment, and we're leading by example, and we're hoping that other eligible entities, even small businesses, even families, can convert what they have to a more efficient fixture or efficient appliance and reduce their fixed expenses, and also continue to help reduce the negative impact on the environment. And that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Do you have any questions?
I have one question on the lighting for like the restrooms, city park tilings, etc. The amount of illumination you described earlier that the small ones give, is that the same type that's at those? Because I'm only thinking of safety at night and security. I know people like a lot of lighting at night around those like restrooms and stuff.
Certainly, I can address that. An example would be the Cloisters restroom. Mm-hmm. We went from a 32-watt fluorescent, a little bit more brilliant than at the community center. It's really noticeable, as well as the Centennial Park, like I mentioned. So we're not reducing visibility. We're actually increasing it, and I think that it is enhanced safety in parks as opposed to having a negative effect.
Great. Thanks.
Good work on that. So that was D1. Do we motion to accept that to file, or is that just a presentation, Joe, or how's that go?
There's no real formal action to be taken. You can accept this summary for file if you'd like. Just then recognize that it was presented and you guys accepted it, and we had no other further questions, and hopefully we can bring some more information back to you as future energy efficiency programs come up.
Excellent. I'm sure that you will. So I guess now it's time for D2.
Greetings to the commission. Great to be here.
Introduce you.
Yes, I can introduce myself. I'm Patrick Cerrone, intern at Morro Bay Recreation and Parks. And I've been working on the fiscal sustainability program. And the fiscal sustainability program is an in-depth look at service department services and programs. In today's conditions, with increased competition for leisure dollar, and increased operating expenses. The fiscal sustainability program is an excellent way to take inventory and assessment of the offerings of the department. Through this inventory, a clear understanding what the programs and services offer in terms of benefit to the community, individuals, and the department can be seen. Brief background of the program. Staff attended two workshops sponsored by California Parks and Rec Society regarding the program. These workshops were provided by Teresa Penbrook of Green Play LLC, a recreation and open space consulting firm. At these workshops, staff received information and packets regarding the program, and staff began work on the program in June of this year. A brief discussion of the program. In starting the inventory of the programs, many aspects that are important to the community are factored in. The target area of those who are using the programs and service, the social, physical, cognitive, environmental, and indirect benefits are also factored. Also, the contribution to a healthy living lifestyle is also factored in. In the next step, comes the service assessment matrix, which the services and programs are put through a certain criteria and come out with recommending in terms of market share and exposure. The first step in this matrix is to see if these programs and services fit into our department's mission and values. Basically, is it right for us? Is it a good fit? The second step is to see if this program or service is economically viable. Is it generating income? Is it meeting cost recovery goals? The next is the market position. Is it a strong or weak? Basically, meaning, does our department have the capability to deliver this potential service better than other agencies available? The fourth step is to determine the alternative coverage, which regards agencies offering similar or like services. After all these steps are complete, the service is diagnosed. Either affirming the market position, which is uses the strengths to advance the position of that program or service, or advancing the market position, which is room to expand or capture more of the market's share. This also a diagnosis is core service, which is a core to the mission or value of Morro Bay Parks and Recs, also a staple of the community. The next factor in this cost recovery program is the portfolio of services. The next step in this process deals with who ultimately benefits from this service and the cost recovery goal that corresponds. The more individual benefit, the more money the program service should recover for the department, i.e. softball tournaments, running events should cost recover at 100% or greater. The more community benefit, the less money the program has potential to recover. Examples, kids' club.
Staff was presented in this particular program, like Pat had said, last November, and knowing that it was going to entail quite a bit of staff time and resources to be allocated to do it properly, we kind of put it on hold. I did do a follow-up workshop down in Long Beach at the CPRS conference and try to get some insight on what other agencies were doing and how they were progressing and some of the pitfalls and some of the positive things that they were doing and bringing those to light here as we approach this. Pat started this project early in June, and he's really covered a lot of ground. And with not a lot of background, he may have lost you in some of the, because he went right into it. And Pat's been doing this for, you know, better than a month. And basically we're looking at all of the services and programs that our department's providing, and he basically has gone through an analysis. He first is on an inventory, like he explained, and then there's areas in that each one fits in, who's the target audience and how is it working. And then he's comparing this with our marketplace. Is it a good fit with our mission? Is it viable for us to continue this? And you'll see that his recommendations and what is called the services assessment matrix, and on the very end of the colored table, you'll see nine large squares. And these squares basically give staff direction. So Pat's really compiled a lot of raw data, and what's coming out the other end, there's basically recommendations, or if you will, directions for the organization to go into. And I'll bring you right to the very end, which is number nine, and it means that something that we need to divest out of. We've been providing an online driver's ed class forever. And as you analyze our program services, really wasn't a good fit for us. Participation, I think, was like below 5 within a decade. It just is not really. It was an opportunity when it popped up. It seemed like a good idea. We were on board, and we just have hung on to it for no other reason other than, hey, we offer it. As Pat did the analysis, really didn't fit. And so if it doesn't fit, and it goes through all the matrix that Pat put it through, at the end, the conclusion is we need to divest out of it. We need to drop this. Don't advertise. We can't support it. And so that's kind of where he's going with this. There are other elements that play a part. He's analyzed the trends in recreation and parks and the very current trends. Those are part of his particular portfolio, as well as the census. The census 2010 is out, and he's taken that information and brought that to his portfolio as well. So there are more things that are in play. And as we analyze other documents that help support our direction, which is be like a facilities master plan, we're a bit off calendar. And as he takes this inventory, he's recognizing the areas that we need to work on, some directions, some things that maybe be brought forward. He's developed a policy for partnership and sponsorship, and we didn't want to hit you with everything tonight, but we wanted to bring Pat in to get him exposed to having a public meeting like this and presenting a significant amount of work. And you can see the details in which Pat has gone through and critiquing each and every service and program that we offer.
Did you have an image of the pyramid to show? Can we show that? That's when it dawned on me when you told me to look at the pyramid there. Then I kind of just figured out what the heck we were talking about. And
I'll put it up on the screen, and Pat can give you a little bit more insight of what the base of the pyramid represents and how it goes up to the top.
So, see at the bottom of the pyramid, you have 0 to 10% cost recovery, and those programs correspond with that. Those are mostly everyone benefits from that. It's community.
Excuse me, one second, Pat. I'm not sure if the guys in the back are with us on the. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Continue, Pat.
Okay. So at the base, you can see special events such as Easter egg hunt or a private service, which recovers 80 to 100%, and that is more individual-based, such as contract instruction and junior lifeguards. And at the top, we have 100-plus, an enterprise service, and those are our softball tournaments, our rock to pier run, and those we recover 100%, and we bring in more money for the community in indirect economic benefit.
So if that makes sense, we're going to tag team this a little bit. We have a current policy of cost recovery, and you've reviewed that, and you've made recommendations to City Council, and they've adopted this. And every time I bring a program evaluation to you, I always give you a cost recovery percentage. And sometimes it includes the direct and indirect, and sometimes we include the support costs as well. And so right now, Pat is working on a new time allocation study, because things are changing, and I'll bring that to your attention in the next agenda item. As we go online registration, as we do more internet and more independent registration for participants, we have less staff time, and that's equals support time, which decreases your indirect costs to provide the service. So your cost recovery is going to be a little bit higher. Okay? So he's given you some examples of some programs that are totally free to the public that are a community benefit. You know, the holiday tree lighting, you don't pay to go to it. And I know that you know that. I'm giving a little bit of information for those at home that may not. So the benefit is totally the community. It's not an individual benefit at all. As opposed to the Rock to Pier Run, which is heavily, 100% an individual benefit. There is some economic impact to the community. We recognize that, and that's a story. That's for another report. But the individual reward is at the top of the pyramid, and those have been deemed by this commission and council to be 100% cost recovery. And so we're analyzing these programs and services and seeing where they fit in as far as the community benefit, or an individual benefit, or anywhere in between. Eventually, this program that Pat's put together, as far as fiscal sustainability, is we will want to review our cost recovery program again, because things have changed since 2004. So we want to bring it up to current standards. We want to meet your expectations as a governing body, and we want to make sure we meet the expectations of the community and make sure that we're in the right spot doing the right program, so it has to be a good fit. So Pat has a lot of different pieces that are coming together, and we didn't want to throw everything out at you today. So what you have is an inventory of all of our programs and services, and then an analysis of those programs and services as far as where they fit in. And so you start to build an understanding of what it is we deliver and how we deliver it. And then we'll start supplementing that by the recommendations. So if we need to go in and do, we want to supplement, or, well, not my sheet's up there, I don't have it. But if we have, say we want, a program needs to have some collaboration, or it really needs to, we need to advance our market position. I think chess is one of them. Well, we're offering free chess. And so now we're exposing people to the game. We're getting them to be participatory and engaged in the environment when they're down at Centennial Parkway. And I think that we're promoting and enhancing our position as far as providing chess. And in the off season, we may have some folks come back and rent the chess board. We're not making a ton of money on it, but it's sustaining itself. And that's our objective. It isn't to make money, but it's to be fiscally responsible and sustainable and hit our target cost recovery. And that's the philosophy that staff has, commission has presented, and I've also heard it from council. And it's a really strong position to be in when we are very much cost recovery, because not all of our services can be 100% cost recovery because the market just won't bear it. But those programs and services that aren't cost recovery at 100% have an offsetting community benefit. And that's where we get a healthy place to live. We are enriching the lives of our community. People want to live here, and people want to come here. And they want to spend time here with their families. And the economics, obviously, is an important role, but the quality of life, is I think, is just as important. And we try to stress that in a well-rounded delivery of services. So I don't want to belabor that too much, but I think it's a point where I really feel strongly and passionate about. I think we're in the right direction with a full analysis and a comprehensive approach to what we have on the table. We're looking forward to bringing more to you. And I think this is just a part one of many parts that we want to bring. And we'll be bringing in the things. Pat won't be coming back because his internship is finishing up here in early August, but his work will continue, and I will continue mentioning his name on everything that I bring forward, because he's done a lot of work that's not present right here, and he needs to get a lot of credit for it, because coming out of Humboldt State with a recreation degree and a business minor, he has showed the aptitude that is that's strong for the workplace. I'd love to keep him on, and we're looking for ways to do that. But to get into an organization and really expose what we're doing, why we're doing it, and is it the right thing, it takes some insight and takes some dedication, and he's really put it together. So we're really
excited. Well, it sounds like we've got some new tools to decide what to do with some of these programs. Before, it's just been a percentage and some dialogue, and that was our only tool, our better judgment. But it sounds like you gave us about three more tools here to deal with that we can make some decisions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know you're going to ask me, is there a formal motion here again? And just like the last one, it's an informational item for you to discuss. Pat was looking for some direction if you wanted to recommend an expanded scope, any different kind of content that we may not have covered in this, something that we might have missed. We're certainly open for our discussion.
I just want to make a comment. I'm very surprised that the spaghetti dinner, it's 0 to 10% cost recovery. I know Mr. Romero that suggested about having a bar, but it was also suggested because it was a teen or because there were children involved that we were raising the money for. They could not have it. And that should be changed around, because a spaghetti dinner should bring in more than 0 to 10% cost.
The spaghetti dinner is more of a joint venture that staff is involved in, the Recreation and Parks Commission, as well as the Morro Bay Community Foundation.
But with everything donated and, you know, things like that,
It we'll have to review that. It is 100% cost recovery because of what we put in. Everything is donated. There are many volunteers, and there is a net gain of, I think we went into a little over $2,000. I think it was like $2,300 that we wrote a check for the community foundation. So there is a profit there. It is a fundraiser, and it's not a 0 to 10% cost recovery.
Right.
Yeah, and it is 100%. It's 100% community benefit, as Pat relates. So he's going to put that in a category that he says, okay, it's a community benefit. It's 100% community benefit. So he's labeled it at 0 to 10% cost recovery, and that's him getting through and doing the bean counting, if you will. So we'll go through it again.
One of our new tools where...
Yeah, so we can analyze that.
Where in that particular part, it gets 100%, not 10 to 20%, you know, or 0 to 10% recovery. The community benefit is 110%, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the program's a little different. It's a fundraiser, and what are we really cost recovering? And I think he's trying to fit things in these categories, and that one may or may not be something that would fit into a cost recovery as a fundraiser special event. So we're going to tweak this. This is going to be a work in progress. We're going to continue to analyze and tweak it and see where things go. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
Very good job.
Jerry, you do.
Good job.
Yes, comments, please.
I think you did a great job on this, Pat. It looks really good, and it sounds like staff is going to benefit from this as a tool. So as far as cost recovery goes on the pyramid, I think it's fine, because we don't want to go into the profit stage, but 100% like on the tournaments and stuff like that is good, because it's, you know, league play and all that kind of stuff. And I fully support the special event stuff because of the community togetherness. So I looks good as it right now.
Any more comments?
I do think it looks great. But a benefit, yeah, should be probably in a different category, because the point's not to make money, but to give the money to the charity that, you know, they're backing. But I didn't even know we had an online driver's education, so it's good. We're learning
things. I think
they
probably forgot about it until Pat got his hands on it.
Yeah. you know, but it is very...
We certainly have some things that are ready for your recommendation, such as the partnership and sponsorship policies. Might be another little step to take. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, I'd make a motion to accept D2 for file and a recommendation for staff to continue on using the new fiscal sustainability program report.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. All right. Up next is D3, Recreation and Parks Department Program Evaluations. Mr. Woods.
Thank you. And here we go with the program evaluations. You don't get too many of these from youth services, which is okay, because this program is a lengthy program. It takes 38 weeks to conclude Kids Club. So it concluded in June with the school year, and we have broken down the program evaluation for the Kids Club 2011-2012 for you. The economic impact is broken down into program costs, which includes obviously all the items we listed there, utilities, licensing, staff, supplies, and that came up to $154,614. Tuition revenue was $123,631. We had a gross revenues of minus $30,000 and about $31,000. The program cost recovery at that level was 80%. This is a merit service category, and so as we look at our target revenue, our goal is 70-79% cost recovery, and we are just above that at 80%. The number of kids participating, we based our maximum capacity, our numbers on max capacity, which is 50 children per day, and that's our state licensing program. And those are the numbers that we've used. It's important that we might have more, but we use it as 50 as far as any one given day. Our cost allocation is broken down to those outside of the day of services, so flyer development, registration at the office, processing the payments through finance and so forth, is about $11.10 a child at 38 weeks, and that's $854. The support come out to slightly over $21,000 with program costs slightly over $154,000. We have program and support costs for the program at $175,704. Tuition again is at $123,631. We have a net loss of $52,073. Our program support and program cost recovery is at 70%. And as your report indicates, we will be doing some fine-tuning on our cost. Obviously, we're always trying to decrease our expenditures and increase our revenues, and without overpricing the participants so they cannot get into the program. But Pat Cerrone, our intern, is doing a time allocation study. He's taken a dated document and making it current, and as he analyzes Kids Club program, he'll interview every department employee and how much time they are spent at their position supporting this program. And right now the numbers are a little bit high, and some of the positions aren't even available right now in our department. So we know for a fact that our support services costs will come down. So at meeting even at this higher level at $11.10 a child, and still meeting 70% cost recovery, which is in our target zone, we anticipate that to be higher. And we're feeling that we are meeting our mission statement. We are providing a very quality program.
and it's been going on for a while. You know, Kids Club it started back in the 70s. It was Partners Program. It was a grassroots kind of a startup. It's had kind of a significant change in the 80s when the state mandated some licensing on child care. We felt that the program was strong enough to continue and meet those goals. Resources of the city allocated allowed us to meet the state licensing requirements, and so we've continued with the Kids Club program. And we offer the program through the school year. When you're not in the school year and in the summertime like we are now, it's called Kids Camp, and it's not a licensed program. So the ratio, we're teaching them social skills, intellectual, emotional skills, these things that are life lessons that are outside of the family. And it's important to hang on to that, because a lot of the kids who have gone through our Kids Club program end up being young adults in our community and end up having their first job with Kids Club. And to me, that speaks volumes of a program and volumes of a community that's able to provide that. And when kids come through and they have that vested interest in the community, you've got a strong place to live. And families grow here. It's not paradise every day, we know that. But when it gets tough, we hope that the character that we've instilled in our program carries on. And we have strong youth that are becoming young adults who are participatory, engaged, and have a civic and civic responsibility that they're proud of. So all that comes out of Kids Club, and it's kind of like it has a Kids Club name really doesn't do it justice, I think, because I think there's so much more in this enrichment program. We've been working very well with the school district. The current principal, Janet Gould, has supported the program wholeheartedly. She's been a strong advocate for the youth outside of her duties as a principal. She's come to bat for teens when we were looking for support. So it's when you have that kind of record, people in the community recognize that and they come out and support us. Conclusion, we definitely are going to continue our program, enriching the lives of children, developing social, emotional, physical, and cognitive skills. I want to make sure I covered all those. And some opportunities that we're proud of this last year that the children that were participating got to experience was a World Gratitude Day, fire safety and fire truck tour at the fire department. So we try to engage other city departments because they're a resource and they're exciting and it's worth it. And sometimes you don't know what's in your backyard until you walk around and have a look. Exploring the tide pools at North Point, very educational. We had Literature Day, always. Dr. Seuss Day, we love that one. Recycle Day, Earth Day, and Arbor Day celebration. And sometimes we'll go out and plant trees, sometimes we'll go out and one time we had a ton of cypress that were growing in some bark mulch, and every kid got to take home a tree and go home and plant a tree, and so they can share with their family what they learned at Kids Club. And also, they've been a really big stronghold on the Mermaid and Pirate Parade, and that's down at the Rock, and they end up at Tognazzini's, and they've been very supportive of the pirate parade. So they try to get engaged in community events, and it's just a very well-rounded program. And for us to provide this level of service has been wonderful. There are participants that are eligible for scholarships to the Morbay Community Foundation. We gave away about 13 scholarships for the Kids Club program, and I'll share with you the Kids Camp program. The Community Foundation gave you about 30 scholarships for the summer program. So there are needy families in the community, and they are not excluded from our programs. We actually invite them to get involved, and if they can't make the financial obligation, that they should apply for a scholarship, and it's basically based on reduced or free lunch program parameters. So there are scholarships available to get into Kids Club and to Kids Camp programs, and we encourage families to inquire about those if they are that they're in need. So this program is within reach, and we're happy to support it, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have one question. Are they bilingual programs? Do they have Spanish-speaking?
We have some of our leaders are Spanish-speaking. We don't advertise that, but we do provide literature in Spanish as well as English.
All right. So everybody's welcome to come on down then.
Without a doubt.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Woods.
Certainly.
Yes, thank you. Any other questions?
No, I was just going to comment that. Thank Heather for its great report put together very well, and just, again, encourage staff to look for costs other than hopefully raising the cost allocation for the child, you know, for them, because we do want them to participate. So, great.
We actually have offered reduced prices for first-time kindergartners, trying to promote the kindergarten care and getting those first-timers into the program, getting them exposed to what we have to offer, and hopefully that's going to take on. So that's been we've had some success with that, but we're continuing to work on our pricing and making sure that we can include everybody. But thank you.
It'd be nice if they had the ramp there to make it getting down to the beach with all the kids and things easier.
So that would be a status report?
Yeah, just a status report on the ramp part of that project.
Sure. Take a motion.
Motion about everything, huh?
Yeah, I would just add that you may just keep in your radars that we'll be going to City Council talking about folding in the rock parking lot with the Concept C, which is the Northern Embarcadero Implementation Plan. And remember, we had master planned, basically in concept, the boat haul out repair and dry storage, as well as the concept plans for Coleman and Target Rock. And the proposal that you had recommended to council has also been an agenda item for the Harbor Advisory Board. It's also been agendized for the Public Works Advisory Board. All three boards have unanimously voted to recommend to council to fold in the parking lot into the concept plan, and we'll be discussing that at the first August meeting at City Council, and hopefully getting some direction from them moving forward into the master planning process. So you're familiar with that process as we went through the teen center. We'll be doing a very similar process, different dynamics, but the similar process for the Northern Embarcadero Improvement Program. So look for that to be agendized. You might want to, you know, think about getting involved at some point, at least keeping yourself informed of what's being presented at City Council, and because it will come back to you for discussion, more workshops. We will be probably looked to as a leader in developing this as a park master plan. So I'm hoping that you have an interest in some of the things that we're presenting and get engaged and participatory, because we will need full support from the commission, as you are advocates for recreation and parks and have your fingers on the community's pulse, and we're looking for your recommendations and your strength in that particular workshop process. And I thank you for indulging me in that last moment, Commissioner, or Chair Bates, and that's all staff has for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Is that what?
What's that?
The agenda is keeping kept.
You know, when it goes up to council, I'll have some clear direction from council. Then they'll direct staff on where this should go, and then I will certainly put that in my status report.
So keep our eyes open, and we'll hear about it soon.
You bet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's never too soon to be informed.
That's good. All right. If that's everything, I'll look for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I make the motion that we adjourn this meeting.
All right.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.